Now on the BBC World Service. I'm Cathy Fitzgerald, and I travelled to New York recently to meet a group of trainee taxi drivers trying to earn a living in one of the busiest cities in the world. Most are immigrants, already grappling with the challenges of a new culture. Will they make it? This is the Yellow Cab Blues.
It feels so good to be back in New York.
Why don't we grab a cab and go out for dinner on the Upper East Side? I feel like having something spicy. Why don't we try Indian food?
Great! Maybe we can go watch a comedy show after dinner.
Great!
Children, you have 3 minutes. Put the answers on the answer sheet. Let's go. Five answers here. A, B, C, D. Come on, start writing answer sheet now, my friend.
We're at a school in Little India. Nope, not the subcontinent. A neighbourhood in New York. The L train rumbles overhead. Street stalls sell prayer mats and Qurans. And a nearby shop has discount dresses for Diwali and Eid. But we're down below ground in a windowless basement.
Attendance sheet, my friend.
50 or more men sit in school chairs. They come from all around the world to learn how to be New York taxi drivers, entitled to drive the famous yellow cab.
Egypt. Sri Lanka.
Bangladesh.
Guinea.
Nepal.
Tibet.
Pakistan.
Make sure you take with you 3 pencils like this. Take 3 pencils like this. Why? One breaks, second is ready. Second breaks, third is ready. If the third pencil breaks, God is giving you a signal. God is saying, I want you to fail the exam. God is breaking your pencil for you.
This is their tutor, AJ. He's been teaching taxi for more than 2 decades and rules the room like a stand-up comic, dishing out put-downs and praise. He speaks nearly as many languages as his students, and if your cell phone rings during class, he'll sting you with a $5 fine.
I had one student last month, 2 months, he'd take like 20, 25 pencils. He opened the box, all the pencils fell on the floor.
He teaches his class just enough to pass the TLC exam. That's the Taxi and Limousine Commission. Some basic English comprehension, New York City geography, plus cultural differences between their old and new homes.
So, yep, the TLC tape recorder will say the address 2 times. How many times?
2 times.
So it's a good idea, on the day of the exam, you take a shower and clean your ear. Because I know a lot of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh people, we don't take shower every day, my friend. So it's a good idea, take a shower. Remember, America, we have 24 hours hot water. We're not in Bangladesh, right, or India, right, Kamalapur station, somebody sitting on the street who will clean the ear with a screwdriver, with a pechkas, with a khurpi. Yeah. Right? Full service salon under the tree.
Yeah, right. Everything under the tree.
The Taxi Workers Alliance says around 95% of New York cabbies are immigrants, come to the US from over 120 different countries. AJ describes his school as a mini United Nations and arranges his students in rows by nationality so that they can help each other out. The atmosphere is studious. It costs $600 just to be in the class, so there's a lot riding on the exam.
A lot of people you'll meet here. When I, you know, my dad drives a cab in New York City, I'm going to go drive a cab too. Because their way of putting it is it's a halal way of making a living. If you own a grocery store, you're selling cigarettes. You're selling alcohol. You're selling lottery tickets. So you're doing a lot of stuff. You're selling pork items. So it's a lot of stuff against religion. And I would probably say over 80% of the population driving cabs are Muslims in New York City. So a lot of them want to make a good living, but at the same time, follow the religion. Because you're driving a cab, you want to pray 5 times, you can pray 5 times. You want to pray 10 times, you can pray 10 times. You're your boss.
That's the aspiration, work with dignity and honor. A halal way to make a living. But is that really what the new taxi drivers, or hacks as they're known, are going to find on the other side of the exam? I take the E train downtown to a hole-in-the-wall restaurant called the Lahore. Opposite a big petrol station, it's a favourite with taxi drivers during their breaks. They come to fill up on petrol and curry.
chamber or fourth and something else.
You gonna park or what are you doing?
I parked the cab for the first time. I got myself lost. Like, I read something square.
Sharon is one of very few female cabbies in New York. She came here from Egypt as a little girl. She wears a hijab and is lugging two bulging bags of shopping. And right now, she's upset.
I should have wrote it down. I really should have freaking wrote it down.
My last customer was a Chinese guy. He wanted to go to Chinatown. And he showed me actually a shortcut to Chinatown, which I was so pleased. And as I'm driving, he's like, ma'am, there's a supermarket on the left. It's very cheap, very nice. I'm like, you know what? Looks like I'm gonna take my lunch, so I'm not gonna eat. I'm gonna go for that 1 hour shop. I parked my cab far, and then I walked to it. And the sad part is, I lost my cab. New York City, whoa.
It's one of the most common complaints among passengers, the cabbie who doesn't know where they're going. But the NYC test doesn't require a particularly intimate knowledge of the streets, and many immigrant drivers are doing their best in an unfamiliar city.
First copy, then I'm going to explain. Copy. Let's go.
AJ teaches geography by rote.
Now, Triborough Bridge has a new name, Jaffer. What is the new name for Triborough Bridge, Jaffer?
Robert F. Kennedy.
Robert F. Kennedy Bridge. John F. Kennedy, brother, Robert F. Kennedy. One is an airport, the other one is a bridge. Robert F. Kennedy Bridge. Oh, on the final exam, Mr. Orkan, the TLC give you this drawing on the exam? No. This drawing will be
inside the head.
As they say in Bangladesh, that means this drawing going inside the head. So people go, wait, hey, how am I going to do this? You practice this one time, two time, three time, four time, 10 times. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like last year I had one Bangladesh guy. He goes, AJ brother, before I came to class, I see Indian movie actresses dancing with me in my sleep. He goes, now? He goes, I go to sleep, I hear Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge. He goes, I can't sleep anymore. That's the way it should be. When you go to sleep at night, you're hearing my voice. That's the way it should be.
Back on the streets with Sharon, looking for her cab, I think about phoning AJ, but decide it would be too embarrassing.
It's you know where McDonald's is downtown? You know where Dunkin' Donuts is? It was a main thing.
Right here.
It was a main road.
The China Road, the Chinatown is so busy road. You go to this Grand Street and this Christmas Street nearby Chinatown.
It's not too far.
Grand Street.
Yeah, Grand, right.
Okay, Grand Street.
Okay, so how far is it from here, Grant?
I think we're going the wrong way.
I'm just doing the cab thing almost a year. I came straight from a housewife. I needed to do something fast, something quick, and that's it, and that's what I'm doing.
How does it compare with being a housewife?
Oh, big difference. I get a lot of compliments from most of the passengers. Especially women's, they like, you got some guts to drive in New York City. So it's all about how much you know, and it's like a baby trying to walk, you know?
You're a baby cab driver.
I'm a baby cab driver for right now. Certain days I do beautiful, certain days, nothing. A day like today is really definitely crazy for me.
Every hour we spend traipsing around New York in search of the lost cab loses Sharon money. It's not just a matter of the meter, the lost fares. Sharon, like most New York hacks, starts every day in debt. Few drivers own their own cabs, so they have to lease them by the shift, that's $120 maybe, and fill them up with gas. When Sharon drives out of the lot in the morning, she's already $150 down, and on a bad day, it can take 8 or 9 hours driving to make that up. Driving a New York taxi is no way to get rich.
When you were in Bangladesh, people said, go to America, a lot of money. In the river, they have no water, they have milk and honey. Right, they say you need dollars, you shake the tree, and the dollar is gonna fall on the street, right? Nobody told you, you have to get up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. That's the way it is, brother. American life is tough, my friend.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is the Yellow Cab Blues.
I Afternoon New York slides past rainy taxi windows. Concrete office blocks massive on either side, and us at their feet, a tiny, grimy yellow cab crawling along the canyon floor. No baggage, no backstory, just the length of the ride and that dream sensation as the city slips by. My driver, a Sikh, tells me he listens to this guru music for 6 hours a day to keep cool when he's in the car. Once upon a time, waves of Italian and Irish immigrants drove yellow taxis, made money, and moved on to new lives. But today's drivers tend to get stuck in taxi limbo. This is one of the few professions in the world where you can work a 12-hour shift and wind up with less money than you started with. Drivers are 30 times more likely to be killed on the job than the average worker, and 80 times more likely to be robbed. And this is all before we get to what really grinds them down. Us, the guys in the back. We get into cabs in every kind of mood and take it out on the driver. How do they put up with us?
Okay, what I would like us to do is to open up your books to the passenger-driver relations section, which is on page 20.
We're back at taxi school, this time at LaGuardia Community College. It's a more official affair than AJ's Jackson Heights joint. Everything's taught in more depth, including the knack of getting along with a bad-tempered stranger in a small space. Teacher Andrew Volo knows all about that. He drove a cab for 30 years.
So if I were the customer and you were the driver, and you would say to me what?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing miserable.
Don't worry, I'm gonna drive so good, you're gonna be fine.
That's the idea. That's the idea. You want to turn around, don't worry, it'll get better. Very important to make eye contact, and in some cultures, people don't make eye contact when they talk. But in New York, it's different. Read the customer, are they by themselves? And if they get in and they're on the phone right away, there's nothing, they're gone, they're finished, they're over. But they open up a newspaper, and they're jumping up and down. You know that they're stressed out because they're late.
I feel people are always grouchy and angry. They're like always frustrated and going like, they don't have 2 second tolerance, even in subway. Try to get in, people push through like, come on, 2 seconds. Even a pregnant lady, they want to spare.
We have 17 things to do before breakfast. Yeah. People get less and less tolerant out there. There's two types of material, Teflon, everything slips off, and Velcro. So you have to be Teflon. You have to just let it slide off. It doesn't matter. It's not about you, it's about them. And you don't want one person to sink you for the day. And I would tell you, anytime you act emotional, you're in trouble.
This is the secret to taxicab zen, the inner calm or spirit of whatever that experienced hacks preserve in the face of their passengers' worst. Tanvir Mohammed, an intense, good-looking driver in his 30s, has developed his own brand to deal with the craziness of New York nights.
He was with his girl, he wanted to show off like he's a big rich guy. I made her turn and I got blocked off by a sanitation truck and he cursed me out in front of his girl and I didn't say anything, I ate it up. He's like, are you effing stupid? Didn't you see the truck? I took a deep breath, I was like, you know, this guy is drunk, he wants to show off in front of his girl. I'm gonna be the smart one here. I'm gonna be like, sir, I'll stop the meter for you. And in the end, when I got there, he actually tipped me very well because he knew I was polite. But you get into a confrontation over the littlest things, you know? At least once a week, somebody gets sexual in the back. And, you know, my father, he's been working over 20 years. He's very morally correct. He doesn't do drugs, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink. And if he saw something like that, he would not be able to take it. He'll be like, please stop, I'm going to kick you out. Me, I don't mind. I don't really mind. You can call me a money hungry. I'm out there to make money. It's a hustle. I take a deep breath, and I'm like, as long as I get a good tip, that's what I care about. I'm not going to say all females look at you like, oh, you're a hot commodity, because they're coming out of clubs where there's millionaires and celebrities. I'm sure a lot of these girls living on Park Avenue look at you as their doorman, so they're not really attracted to you. But one time I did get hit on by some really hot girl. I ended up going to bed with her that night, and she was very hot. She was like a 10. And so this job will get you laid once in a while, too. It does. It does. But she was just looking for one night. She just used me. I called her again. She never, whatever. But I'm just saying, you gotta let go of your morals, your ethics.
It just seems like you're living more than the rest of us.
You see more, but that does not mean that you're part of it.
In the good book of Taxi, don't take it personally is the golden rule. But that doesn't mean that they, we, can't make the most of our brief encounter. The clunk of the door encloses us together in a comfy, semi-soundproofed world. We couldn't have designed a better place to tell stories if we'd tried.
73rd Street, 3351 73rd Street.
Let me show me that.
Where is
that? Oh, 3351 73rd Street, got it.
I'm travelling home with Mansoor Khalid. Pakistani-born, he's been driving taxis in New York since the late 90s and is one of the city's most popular cabbies. The back shelf of his taxi is full of sweets. Eat them all before you arrive at your destination and the trip is free. He's got quite a following among students from NYU and Columbia.
They email me, they challenge me, hey, candy cab, we're gonna finish your candies. I said, sure, we, no problem. So they give me the address, I pick them up, they're mentally, physically ready to finish all these candies. And then I drive very slowly. And I said, guys, don't
you
worry.
Want them to win.
Yeah, yeah, I want to them. I said, guys, no problem. I'm watching you guys relax. I'm not gonna drive fast. Take your time, just keep eating. And I love these kids, oh my God. Sometimes like I'm waiting for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. I'm just every day I'm waiting, oh, Thursday night is coming, Friday night is coming. Since I start calling, let's do boom boom. So
let's do boom boom.
Boom boom.
Like what does that mean?
Boom boom, like a big boom boom music. And
do
then
they start dancing in the back of the cab?
Oh, I have a lot of dancing, and then they don't want to get out. I just look at the mirror. If these guys are enjoying, they are dancing, I say, okay, man, great trip is going on right now.
Mansoor keeps in touch with his passengers on Facebook and Twitter and jokes about needing an assistant to keep up with all his messages. He tells me the music he's playing was a gift from a group of Lebanese ladies who had a candy cab ride on their bucket list. Of course, it's easy to dismiss all this as a gimmick, but not once you know the story behind all the smiles and free sweets.
This all things start with my little boy. Yeah. I mean, my boy was sick for 2 years. In a hospital in Bronx. So whenever I go visit my son and my wife, I buy a lot of coffees, donuts for the doctors and for the nurses. And when I give to them, they smile, they, oh, thank you so much, you save our life, we were so busy. I mean, and I wanted to continue. So I was, after his death, after 2 weeks, just come to my mind, I say, how about I just put like a little sweets on the back of my cab and let's see how it will work. Mm-hmm. And I saw people smiling, people, oh, thank you so much. Oh, you, is it free? I say, yes, of course it's free. So they enjoy. And then slowly, I just keep upgrading my car and filling up. And then I bought a
and
big membership
lights.
In a Costco. Yeah. So, I mean, disco lights, some keep upgrading.
Isn't it hard to be around people being so happy when you're grieving?
Actually, you know, looking at the people, it's not mean I'm not sad. I miss my boy, my wife miss my, I mean, whenever I reach home, my house is empty. So because whenever I enter in a room, as soon as he see me, and his smile was very beautiful.
What was his smile like?
His smile is so pretty. And all the time, doctor, nurses, oh, do you know that your son smiled on me? I said, yes, I know. I said, thank you. He was a beautiful boy and a very decent boy, and just he'd been through a lot, but people are very nice. A lot of people want to give me a donation. Mm. I say, guys, thank you, and I don't need your donation.
You need their smiles.
I said, that's it. I said, you guys smiles, you guys laugh, you guys scream, these three things work in my car, that's it. Smiles, laugh, and scream. That's my lifestyle. That's it. You guys just, you know, you guys screaming, looking at the candies, lights, music, enjoy. Just that's it. It's enough for me. That's enough.
Mansour meets 20 to 30 people every shift. Often his passengers don't want to leave.
New York City is so huge, millions of people, but very lonely. Very lonely city.
What makes you think that?
I drive them. I drive a lot of lonely, lonely people and very good people, very good people. Over here, they're just time is making you hyper because a lot of things you have to do. There's some people like an always in a hurry. I say, guys, you know, my car doesn't go that much fast. I can drop you. You can just drop you over here. You can take another cab. So people, what I learned, people calm down. People say, no problem. We're going to continue with you. I say, okay. You know, when I start chit-chatting with them, when I Google their heart, I find out a man. I say, man, you are calm. You're a cool person. Just calm down.
When you Google their heart, is
yeah,
that what
I,
you do?
Yeah, that's, I say, man, I just find out what's the problem. I understand. So I chit-chat with these people, and sometimes like I'll be sitting a long time in traffic and we don't realize, like, you know, that yeah. We're sitting a long
time
in traffic.
Goes.
The time just goes
yeah.
Because we chit-chatting. So when I then show them candies and they start slowly when I, sometimes I make little jokes and asking and they just, once they smile, then I just grab them. I say, okay, now I grab the person. I mean, now he's...
Now I've got
him. Now I got him or her. So just make me feel good.
It's nearly the end of our ride, but we can't leave Sharon wandering the New York streets. We're downtown, still searching for her missing cab.
Nothing yet. We're not going to give up. We will not be defeated or then hurt.
Oh my God. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make the rent for the car today. That's why I've been wasting a lot of times. Okay, that's the something square, right? That's it. That is it.
That's your cab?
So it's, what is it? Is it Essex?
Hold on.
Is that the one? Hold on. Okay, you see what happens? I park it here, and then I walk this way. But it wasn't really Broadway, it was East Broadway. Now I know better.
So this
and
is it?
Thank you, this is it!
This
we found the cab! We did it! Yay! Thank you! Oh my goodness! Thank you!
That's the thing. That's how you do it. You bet.
The Yellow Cab Blues was presented and produced by Kathy Fitzgerald. The executive producer was Matt Thompson. The music for Car Horns was composed by Wendy May Chambers. It was a Rocket House production for the BBC World Service.